teaching us this morning, because what I have to say next follows right with what he had to say. And we need to be able to apply what he's talking about as we look at our lives. Please pray with me for a minute. Gracious Lord, you give us your word. We hear your word and we're excited by it. Help us to be focused on that and to draw close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to direct your attention back to the reading from Acts chapter 20. And I'm going to pick out two or three verses as thought starters this morning, but we'll go on from there to reach back into some other pieces as we go. Verses 20 and 21 read like this. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. So that was his message. Turn to the Lord Jesus. And a little farther on, he says something else that's significant to us in terms of our attitude. Verse 24, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So those verses establish most of the text for where we'd like to go today. If anyone asks you at brunch this morning, what did the preacher talk about? Let me give you the answer right now. Here it is. When you are on God's path, whatever road that takes you down is a good road. Okay? If you didn't get it the first time, here it comes again. When you are on God's path, whatever road that takes you down is a good road. You may think it has bumps and hills and valleys and curves and twists and turns in it, but if it's God's path, you're on a good road. Lots of people walk through life without knowing exactly what direction they're going. And even if they have a GPS system that will tell them exactly what latitude and longitude they're on, what address they've arrived at, that's going to be worthless if they don't really know the destination. Worthless. So you're navigating, great, but you don't know where you're going. So what? We need a purpose. We need a direction in life. And Paul in Acts 20 tells us he has one. And I think that's our model. That's where we need to be this morning. He shows us how important that is. He knew he was on God's path. And that fact made it clear that he knew he was on a good road. Now, in the context, that's difficult because his friends are telling him, enemies ahead. Change direction. Do not stay on this road. He was sure. He was on God's path. That was a good place to be. So let's check out the scene from Acts chapter 20 for a little bit. We need to get into the flow of where this is going. Paul was in a hurry to sail to Jerusalem. He'd been in Greece. He was on his way to Jerusalem through the Mediterranean Sea. So he's going all the way to the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea. I shouldn't point to the west. He was going to the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? And on the way, he wanted to stop and talk to the leaders of the church from Ephesus. Ephesus was in modern-day Turkey, a little bit off the sea coast. And as he's sailing along, he stopped at the place called Miletus. And he sent a message to the leaders of the church in Ephesus. He says, come on down. I got some things I want to share with you, but I'm in a hurry, so please come right away. We're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem. And they came. It's about a 2-day walk. They met at the seaport there, and he had some things he wanted to do to mentor them. These are people that he had known. He'd served in Ephesus for 3 years. Before he'd gone to Greece, he'd been in Ephesus for 3 years. So now he's back, and he wants to talk with these people because he knows he's never going to see them again. He had a list of subjects to teach on, and even though he knew about the enemy plots and all those things, he told them, and he tells us, that the threats ahead are okay. Don't worry, just pray for me, will you? And he has some messages. We're going to talk about those in a minute. Just pray for me, because I know that when I'm on God's path, whatever road that takes me down is going to be a good road. Okay. Paul didn't have a triptych itinerary. He didn't have a fax from God that told him where to go. But he knew that if he was on God's track, he was going to be in the right place. Does that make any difference for us? Sure it does. We're in the same situation. Whatever the path is, if it's God's path, it's going to be a good one. For his purposes. We may not know our path and where we're going next even, any more than Paul did. He followed his path because he knew that he had to accomplish the task that God had given to him. That's what he was all about. His purpose was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what he'd been doing for the last few years. And that's what he was going to continue to do up until the day he died. Okay. He faced some challenges along the way, and if we're on that kind of task, we're going to face some challenges along the way too. Dangers, obstacles, but we have the same problem and the same promise. When we're on God's path, whatever road we're taking is a good road. Each one of us has a path to follow. Some parts will be future surprises, because we don't know exactly where it's going to go yet. We can't see them yet, but they're there. And there's another eerie fact in the mix. This one always blows my mind. God knows what the future is. And while we're still trying to discover it and unfold it, he already knows where it's going to lead. That's exciting. And to realize if I'm in tune with that, I can count on God's leadership. We need to hear his direction, because he may have great plans out there for us, but if we're not listening, we're going to have trouble figuring out what to do with them. We all have a life path. For some of us, it may be you're the chairperson of your home. I prefer that term over homemaker. It sounds more important, because it is. It may be a shift job in a factory somewhere. That's important. It may be some profession that you're going to pursue, and that can change as it goes along. Each one of us has a career path, and some of those you can look at and say, this one just seems to be flying on a straight track, as sure as an arrow that's fired with accuracy. And for others of us, we're going to find, no matter where I go, my road seems to have twists and turns and variations in it. And I don't know exactly where I'm going to land. Most of us change our tracks somewhere in life. Those of you that know me fairly well realize that I've changed tracks many times. I'm still wondering what the next turn in the path is going to be. What am I going to do when I grow up? Well, that's the question. God knows, and I can trust that. But I don't know exactly where that's going to go yet. That's all right. God amazes me in the way he leads me. Some paths have breaks and obstacles in them. And I know that for some of you, you've had some breaks and obstacles over the last few years. We live in a part of the world that faces terms like unemployed. Or underemployed. I don't think underemployed was even used a decade ago. We hadn't dreamed of that yet. But those are breaks and obstacles in life. You're not quite sure where it's going to go next. And it's uncomfortable when you're in the middle of that situation. Some of you are on a college or university track right now. Some of you are in a tech school track. You're preparing for something else. Today, across the street, in the Eastern Michigan campus, is graduation day, commencement for many people, a major transition time in life. Because you don't quite know what's going to happen on the other side of that. The last two schools I graduated from, one was law school and one was a seminary, I always had this mild concern at this point that said, I hope life on the outside is as good as it is on the inside. Because I really liked going to school. And I had this little concern that said, well, is the next step going to be as nice? It is. And so for those of you that are graduating, I'd say, congratulations, God has a plan for you. You just need to unfold it still. Many of you are on family paths. Marriage is an important event in your life. The birth of each one of your kids is an important event in your life. But those situations have twists and turns in them too. You don't know exactly where each one of your kids is going to land or what you're going to do next. Okay. All of our paths include living and telling the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, whether you do it well or poorly, you have the task. You have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. And that's what Paul's talking about. He said, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus Christ has given me. And then he tells us what the task is. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. God had a path for Paul's life. Preach Jesus Christ. Paul was tuned into that plan and he was following it. If we go back to verse 21 again, he says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Pretty simple. And when he's saying, I've got both Jews and Greeks swept into that, what he's really saying is, everybody has the opportunity to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's my desire for them. What a great gift. That's what he offers. Well, if Paul was on God's path and he's doing what God wanted to do and God has all the power in the world and so on and so on and so on, why did he face so much opposition? That's a question we need to understand, because if he faced opposition, guess what? We will too. And so, how am I going to cope with that? That's the question. Why wasn't his path straight and smooth? Why do we face threats and fears when we try to follow God's path? There's a very simple answer to that. The forces of evil worked against Paul, and the forces of evil will work against us. The Bible teaches us in very plain words that this evil comes at us in three forms. In the Catechism, we talk about this as the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. That's about as cryptic as you can make it. The devil, the world, and the sinful flesh. The devil himself would oppose us. And the world we live in, the people and influences that come from around us, will oppose us. And if that wasn't enough, we got enough stuff inside ourselves that causes us to be fearful and rejected and uncertain about what we're going to do next. We have difficulty with those kinds of things. Out of those three evils, today I don't want to play down any one of those because they are all involved in our lives all the time, but I'd really like to focus our attention for a few minutes on the challenges that come from the world around us. I'm not talking about the planet Earth, this rock that we live on, that's made out of dirt and trees and seas and all that kind of stuff. We just celebrated Earth Day this last week. Well, it was fine. Don't make an idol out of that, though, would you please? We're following Jesus Christ instead. But the earth is important and it's worth preserving, and our stewardship of that is all fine. That's not the earth I'm talking about. The world I'm talking about is the people and the ideas and the influences that they bring to bear on us and the institutions that we live under, the government that we serve under, or that's supposed to serve us. Sometimes it does. The power that comes from the world is what can twist us and cause us to fear rejection and threats in our lives. And it causes us, when it comes to Jesus Christ, to say, this is kind of a risky business. I don't know whether I want to talk about Jesus or not. Are the people I'm talking with right now safe? Well, standing in a church, it probably is. But out there? Could be a tougher situation. I don't want to just beat on the TV set and the internet and the world of advertising. Those are our easy whipping boys. Christians have been beaten up on those for years. But it's much more subtle than that, because it may be your friends and neighbors, the people that you'd like to trust, and the people that you hope would trust you. And it can come from all of those different influences. We could make a long list. That'll take longer than we have this morning to talk about it. It comes from the government leaders around us who promote policies and politics that would say, Jesus isn't quite socially acceptable, so let's soft pedal that. Can't we? These powers spread a lie to us, telling us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not socially acceptable and it's not politically correct. We can tolerate everything else in the world, but not that. And that's where we find ourselves often today. This thought process attacks our minds and pulls us away from the truth that Paul teaches. We face penalties if we stay on the path that God calls us to walk. Now, Paul had already faced that rejection. He'd already faced those attacks physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. In the years that he served in Ephesus, he faced the attacks that came from the merchants, the tradespeople, the government leaders of that community, because they had their whole culture and their whole economy tied to the worship of the goddess Diana, also known as Artemis. Depends on which translation of the Bible you're reading. And when he came along with Jesus Christ and people began to follow him, guess what? The economy took a downward turn in Ephesus, because people weren't buying the silver trinkets that you got to have if you're going to worship the goddess Diana. They weren't paying attention to going to the temple there anymore. Well, people didn't like that. The worship of that pagan goddess got in the way. Now, we also know, because we can look forward a little bit to the end of Paul's life and realize that he faced not only the rejection that he'd had already, but he also faced prison, death, because of the task that he was trying to carry out. We may not have that fate, but we might. In Acts 20, in spite of all those things, he had a message for the leaders from Ephesus. He said, you're going to face a split in the church. Some of us have lived through that situation. He said, savage wolves will attack you. He's talking about people that would come in and rip people out of the church and take them down another track. Not literally the timber wolves, but people that function as wolves for their own purposes and their own desires. The world around us makes no pretension to being gentle. In our world, if we say we're believers in Jesus Christ without anybody investigating your politics or anything else, you're likely to get labeled as a right-wing Christian fanatic. Unintelligent, backwards, out of touch, missing out on what's really going on in the world. Hear the temptation of the world in that? That's what we face. Threats in that situation hold us back from walking on God's path. But his call, his assignment remains the same. Stay on the path. Whatever road that turns out to be is a good road. That's where we want to be. Consider the promises that go with that. Enough of the nasty stuff. Where's the promise? Why would this sound good? Verse 32, the end of our text today. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. Hear this, the word of God can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. There's an inheritance at the end of the road. In fact, it's an inheritance you can already claim before you get to the end of the road. It's great to have a place in heaven, and I treasure that. But this says, you're among the sanctified now. Paul's talking to these leaders of the church of Ephesus. His goal was to say, don't let the opposition distract you. Claim your eternal place in heaven. You also have God's strength working with you now on this earth. You and I share that path with everybody else who walks with God. When you live a life that follows Jesus, you will receive a variety of mixed responses. I think we can forecast this and be pretty accurate. You may get anger. You may get mocking. You may get indifference. You may get relief. You may get encouragement and endorsement. I mean, that pretty well covers the spectrum from one end to the other, doesn't it? That's the way people respond to Jesus Christ. They're either for him or against him. Some people try to be indifferent, but that puts you on one side of the fence or the other, whether you like it or not. That variety should not frighten us. When you're on God's path, whatever road that takes you down is a good road. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand with me. We take that faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We confess.